Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
All right. Ready to go? Reg? Yeah? Let's go. Perk it up. It's not Christmas vacation yet, my friend. All right, let's get set, it all set. Here we go. Putting the books, 291, episode 291. As usual, I will give you the three S's. I'll give you the countdown. You give me the music. And I will, in this season of giving, give you a podcast. How's that? All right, here we go. Episode 291, the Christmas issue, the Christmas episode. I'm going to be talking about some Christmas stuff today, so. All right, you ready to go? Here we go. Star, smile, strong. All right, here we go. Getting ready. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, listening is certainly an important part of your participation in this podcast. But we also hope that you'll go that extra mile. Get out there. Send a link. Send a message. Tell your friends. Tell your family that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. You go on to any kind of website. If you find it, you can rate and subscribe to this podcast. And as I said, let everyone know you listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podcast, and they should too. Yes, Ollie. And if you like what you hear, don't forget, go to WGNradio.com, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and you will find all previous podcasts that we've done. 5 years and counting. We're getting close to 6 years. May of next year will be our sixth anniversary. There's 290 episodes just sitting in that vault waiting for you to binge on. It's the holidays. It's time for binging. So while you're binging on holiday cookies and you might be binging on some alcoholic beverages, binge on Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic podcast. And you could start with right now, episode 291. So it is Christmas week as this is posted. Christmas at the end of the week here, but we're in the home stretch. We're in the home stretch. It seems to go faster every year, doesn't it? Boy, how cliche does that sound? But it's true. When you're a little kid, Christmas can't come fast enough. And when you're older, it comes in a blink of the eye and it's gone. And I still have a childlike, I don't even know what it is. Is it a love, an affection? I don't know what you would even call this emotion. Connection? I don't know. But from a young age, I always enjoyed Christmas. More than my birthday, more than anything else. I think it was because it was the communal aspect. It wasn't, you know, birthday is very personal. And it's your big day, I know that, and people go all hog wild for their birthdays. And I've never, as I've said many times here, I've never been a real big birthday guy. And my birthday is exactly two weeks after Christmas, which might be another reason why, and I've talked about that. It's always been kind of a push and pull with me because, you know, I understand the importance of the birthday, but at the same time, it always seems to have had some diminished meaning for me because it was so close to Christmas, and then a week later is New Year's, and then a week later is my birthday, and everybody is kind of partied out and celebrated out. And then here I am trying to make some more commotion. So my birthday was kind of always muted. My official birthday parties were always later in the year because, you know, later in the month, I mean, toward the end of January, because, you know, my parents were like, you know, how many times can we keep seeing these same people? We've just seen them for like 2 weeks in a row. So let's give everybody a break. Everybody's kind of holidayed out, you know, Thanksgiving and you know, a month before, and then you got Christmas and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and then New Year's a week later, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day many times. We would celebrate all of those. So then, and then a week later, my birthday? Oh, so my birthday was always kind of pushed off to the second or third or sometimes fourth week of January. And it just kind of lost, for me, I guess, it lost its specialness. And I'm not mad about that. It's the luck of the draw. I have talked on many occasions here that I am not a fan of the combination Christmas and birthday present. I don't know if that still goes on. I don't know anyone in my sphere here with a similar kind of birthday in the last 20 or 30 or 40 years. So I don't know. But back when I was growing up, there were different times. And yeah, there were many people that did the combination birthday Christmas present. As I said on many occasions, it wasn't twice as big. The present wasn't twice as big or twice as and I want to say expensive, but I mean it wasn't twice. It wasn't twice the gift that you would expect. If it's a combination, that combination means the melding of more than one, right? But you can't say, well, here's a gift and it's good for both, but it's kind of just one gift. If you're going to go hog, if you're going to say it's a combination gift, I'm looking for some big box. I'm looking for some major box here. And a lot of times it was kind of like a throwaway. So whatever, that's something that I have to still deal with, obviously. Many years down the road, it's still bugging me. but Christmas, I think I enjoyed because of the communal aspect. You got together with your family. There was the decorations. There are all the movies, and there's the TV shows and the music and. And obviously the Santa thing, and I became a big fan of Santa early on. And I look back at some photos that I have, and I could see why, because there are some Santa dolls that I have now, that I still have, that I use as decorations in our home, that I had from when I was 1 year old. And I always knew these dolls were old, but I didn't know just how old they were until I saw pictures of me at 1 year old, 1 year old, whatever, is there an S after that? 1 year old, and there I am holding this doll. And one Santa, which I put on the tree, it's a small little doll. It's not even, it's kind of like a, made of styrofoam. It almost looks handmade. I don't know, but I apparently it was on a present that my godmother gave me for my first Christmas. And I have to understand, my first Christmas was almost a year after I was born. It wasn't like, oh, I was born and 3 months later was my first Christmas, because my birthday was January 8th. So by the time, you know, December 25th came of that year, you know, Christmas was over the past year. And then I'm born. So I was almost a year old for my first Christmas. I wasn't just some, you know, lump of flesh that was hanging around for a few months. I was up and around. But apparently my mom saved this doll from my godmother, my Aunt Laura, and I still have it. She kept it, and it's still intact. And I remember seeing this thing always around. My mom always had it displayed, and it thankfully made it through the cut. It made it through the transition of many decades. And here it is still on my Christmas tree. And my aunt is, my godmother has passed many years ago. My mom has passed. But that little Santa is there as a memory to both of them. my aunt for giving it to me on my first birthday, my first Christmas, and for my mom for realizing the importance of it and keeping it for me. And so it's on the tree, and it's always a very little heartwarming and special little moment when I put it on the tree. I just always remember both of them for that. And I remember them for more than that, but at that moment when I'm putting on the tree, it's like, wow, yeah, look at this. This little Santa has been around for a while. And hopefully I'll be able to celebrate him for many, many more years, too. He's going to put on some major, hopefully he's going to have some, a very long life. Let's put it that way. We're keeping our fingers crossed. But yeah, so I've always loved Christmas, and as I grew older and began to celebrate, you know, when I was about 18 or so, I had a room in the basement. I had a room upstairs in our house for many years, but then we had some room in the basement, and so I made my so some privacy. You know, I mean, you're 16, 17 years old. You know, I think I was about 16 or 17. You know, you want to get a little privacy, and so I took this part of the basement and sort of made it my room. And then and that was really because, you know, when my bedroom was as part of the house, you know, there was a Christmas decorations around the house, but they weren't. It was mainly in the front room, near the dining room, in the front room by the front of the house, where the tree was and things like that. And a few little trinkets made their way through the rest of the house and back into the den area. But for the most part, it was there. But I didn't really have anything Christmassy in my room per se. But when I then went in and got my own room in the basement, and I was kind of by myself, that's when I really started, I believe, my own journey, if you will, of Christmas decorations. And anybody who knows me knows whenever I get into something, I get into it full tilt. There's no little toe in the water. I may try something out, and I may dip my toe in then, but if I'm liking what I like, I jump right in. I'm water over my head. You know, I'm drowning in it of whatever I like. I go to the extreme. I'm always very passionate, and always when I like something, I really like it. And so that's when I think I really started to get my Christmas decoration bug, when I had my own room, because I was now separated to some extent. You know, all the other Christmas decorations were upstairs, and I was in this room now a lot more regularly than I was upstairs. So I bought my own little tree. So I had a tree, and then I started, you know, I poached a few of the Christmas decorations from upstairs that I felt were mine, like this Santa doll that I was telling you about. Not only the one that my godmother gave me, but then this other big stuffed animal, stuffed Santa doll, which I still have. As I said, at least I must have got it at least for my first Christmas, because there's a picture of me at almost 1 year old with that doll. So I poached a few things down from upstairs, but then I started to just, you know, buy some other things too, and decorated my room. And it was a nice size room because it was in the basement. So I had some space. It was kind of like a pre-loft era. But it actually had walls and a door. I actually had a door. They called it like a dormer. And some homes would have like this little mini house. It actually had a bathroom and a sink and like a kitchen area in it. And then a bedroom. It was very small, but it did have those utilities in it. So I did have some privacy, and I was able to decorate it myself. And it was pretty cool for a 16, 17-year-old kid to have that kind of room. So I had that privacy. But that's what I think when my Christmas decoration started to take hold on my own. And then it continued through my 20s. And then when I got married, well, then I had a nice little collection. And by that time, too, my parents were getting older, and they weren't putting up as much of the decorations as they used to. So then I was like, well, let me take that and that and that. I took a little more from them. I left them with enough stuff that they could still feel Christmassy. And they didn't mind. But yeah, but then I went full tilt, and now our house is it's just filled with Christmas stuff, and I love doing it. As some friends came over I've known them for quite a number of years, but never came over to our house. We were kind of like social friends. And they came over to the house recently, and I said, well, you've got to see our Christmas decorations. And wow, when they walked in, they were, you know, my friend's wife was like, this looks like a department store, which I thought was a great description. Nobody who's ever come to the house described it that way, but I thought that was spot on. I'm like, yeah, that is, it does look like a Christmas store. It looks like a Christmas store. I just have to burn some potpourri. But yeah, the music's playing and everything's there. Everywhere you look, there's a Santa or a snowman everywhere you look. And in fact, as I was taking him through the house, I was saying, now, you also have, not only is this a passive tour where you can just look at everything, but it's also an active tour through all of our rooms and all the different Christmas decorations, because if you see a space anywhere here that does not have a Christmas decoration, please let me know, because we will fill it. The goal here is that everywhere you look, there should be something red and white, or wearing a beard, or wearing a top hat like a snowman. That's the goal. So, but yeah, she said, it looks like a Christmas store. And then my friend said, wow, this is quite a commitment. Which, again, I thought I had never heard that phrase before, but he's a little more analytical guy, and he just said, wow, this is really some commitment. And I guess that is, I don't know if I should be committed for my Christmas spirit, or this was a commitment into putting it up, but it is not an obligation by any means. I don't feel obligated. I enjoy doing it. It certainly is a commitment. I mean, I thought it was great. They both came from two different mindsets, but they really were right on in terms of their first reactions, because it does look like a Christmas store with just so much stuff, even though nothing in there is for sale, which could be the topic of my podcast today. But also, yes, it does take commitment. It does take time. I've got about 15 of those big bins, those big, you know, storage bins. And not just the smaller ones, the bigger ones, but 15 of those, if not more, with stuff that we put up every year. And it takes to get everything done, and not even just to get the stuff up, it takes about 16 hours, 2 days and 16 hours. I timed it this year. It was about 16, 17 hours, 16 and a half, over 2 days. And that did not include decorating our tree. I put the tree up within that 16 hours, but I did not decorate the tree. Waited a couple of days after that and then decorated. And that took about 2.5 hours. Our tree is so filled with ornaments. There really is nowhere else to put an ornament. There are some ornaments that we don't even put up. Not a whole shoebox full, but maybe about a shoebox full, you know, of ornaments that we just can't put up. And some, you know, gain and lose favor over the years. You buy some new ones, you go, oh, geez, I don't know what to do this. And we've thrown some out that we just don't like, or they've broken and things like that. They just lost their, as I've always said about throwing stuff out, if it doesn't pass muster, if it's lost its luster, it doesn't pass muster. And that's when you throw it out. Now, I know there's this book about organizing where something is supposed to spark joy. Okay, that's not mine. Mine is muster and luster. I like rhymes. But yeah, I mean, we got to a point where I'm like, we really can't. We had pre-ordered a Santa ornament, and it came in about 2 weeks after we had already decorated the tree. And so it's a great Santa ornament. We really like it, and it's a little big. It's bigger than the normal one would be, And it literally took me 10 minutes to find a place to put this ornament. And I had to move others around, and then some others fell off because they're hanging off by, you know, hanging by a little thread, literally sometimes, off of a branch. You know, but it was 10 minutes because I wanted to put it in a place of prominence because it was a new ornament and we really liked it. So we wanted to see it, not just throw it in the back somewhere where you can't see it. But so, I mean, I don't know. There was a time when we used to have three trees, and then they just got old, and we were just like, you know what? I mean, do we really need three trees? They were small trees; they weren't huge. We did get rid of two of them, but those used to be filled, but they weren't even filled with ornaments. Like one was filled with all these Anna Lee dolls that we have. Another was filled with all of my Rankin and Bass figurines. They filled trees. So, needless to say, as I said before, when I'm getting into something, I really get into it. And Christmas decoration is something that I have gotten into, and now I have it down to a science. But it is, as my friend said, it is quite a commitment. But at the same time, it's not in a commitment in a bad way. I do it freely of my own will and my own enjoyment, my own passion. And I do it early. I do it in mid November. One time I started doing it in early November or mid November because we were going to be away for Thanksgiving. And so I said, well, geez, you know, we're going to come back. When we come back, it'll already be December. So we have to have the Christmas stuff up before we leave. So I probably did it, you know, 5 days before Thanksgiving. And then it was like, well, and usually what? Thanksgiving's around like the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th. So if I did it that time on the 20th, then I was like, well, then what are you waiting for? So now I put up the Christmas decorations on November 15th. And by that week, you know, everything is done, and I'm still tinkering with things, and then we wait maybe a week later, and then we put the ornaments up around Thanksgiving time, or maybe like Thanksgiving night. Then we'll put the ornaments on the tree. But it's a major process. But I enjoy it, and I'm still not tired of doing it. But at the same time, I'm looking around and I'm looking at our house, and we've been here for, you know, for a while now. And to my point about earlier, like if you see, joking with my friends, if you see a space that doesn't have anything, let me know. We've almost achieved that goal too, of filling almost every space where anywhere you look. There seems to be something Christmas involved. That's the goal. I like to think that it is tastefully displayed. There's no question. There's stuff everywhere. But I have to tell you, there's also a very a comfortable feeling of being surrounded by that. By this Christmas stuff. And I said before how fast Christmas comes, and when you get older, it seems to come quicker than it did the year before. Yes, even though I've had this Christmas stuff up now for almost about a month, right? Here we are. It's Christmas week. This is the week of Christmas. And yes, this stuff has been up for about a month, and yet it doesn't seem like it. I don't know. Do I dare to put it? I mean, I hate to treat Thanksgiving like a speed bump holiday. But and the funny thing is, I even keep some of our Thanksgiving stuff up amidst the Christmas stuff. I'll still keep a few little figurines and some Christmas or some Thanksgiving decorations amid all the Christmas stuff. But as soon as Thanksgiving is over, you know, by 7 o'clock that night, it's gone and we're into full Christmas mode. I don't like to, as I said, I don't like to give Thanksgiving the short shrift, But we got a lot of Santas and a lot of snowmen here, folks. So they need to be they've been knocking at the tops of those bins for 11, 12 months. And I usually don't take the Christmas decorations down until right before my birthday. You know, according to the Catholic tradition, there's, of course, it's called January 6th is called the Epiphany, which according to legend, that's when the three wise men came to the stable after Jesus was born. And I've got my own rules about the Nativity, and I've talked about that many times. Very quickly, your three wise men should not be at the stable when you put it up. If you put it up before Christmas, your three wise men should be arriving at the stable on January 6th. And your Jesus should not be in the stable until Christmas Day. Okay, that's not my rule. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you have a nativity scene and you have your Jesus and you have your three wise men in the stable, I get it. I understand you want to make a scene. You want to make this commemorative scene. I understand that. But if you want to be historically correct and you want to make it interactive, so this way it's a living nativity scene. You're always, like, my three wise men are always moving closer to the stable. And Jesus, you know, on Christmas at midnight on Christmas Day, when it ticks over from Christmas Eve to Christmas Day, I go and get my baby Jesus and I put him in my stable. So that nativity scene is not just put up and then forgotten. It's we're making additions to it all the time. But so I usually wait for the Epiphany, and then I take it down maybe the day before my birthday or so. But definitely, if it's not. It's like the next day after, because then it's been 2 weeks after Christmas by then. And I think, you know, you wait till New Year's and it's so funny before, you know, I can't wait to get this stuff up. I love being surrounded by it. It's just very comforting. Everywhere I look, there's a Santa. We have the Santa pillows. You have the snowman pillows. You have the dolls everywhere. You could feel the wall, the house feels closer. The walls feel closer in. Because there's so much stuff that it is closer. The house gets smaller because there's so much stuff, but it's comforting. And then also because my wife is into snowman and I'm into Santa, we leave the snowman up. We take all the Christmas stuff down and all the Santas go down and they go into the bins. But then we leave the snowman up throughout the house and they stay up until March 1st because that's the official meteorological spring. So the snowmen stay up. But there is something comforting and warm about having all that stuff up. So I try to keep it up there as long as I can, from mid-November till early January. Now, in terms of even getting into Christmas, it seems like I saw stuff up, you know, soon after Halloween. So I'm not the only one. And it seems like every year, maybe, you know, like that song goes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute, you know, and especially in the last couple of years with all this COVID and pandemic stuff, maybe people just need to feel like, you know, Christmassy a lot earlier than they used to. I don't know if that's going to wind up being a trend or not. It's always inched up, but it seems like now people are just, people just want to feel in the holiday spirit as long as they can. But so I'm looking around the house, and you know it's filled with stuff, and a lot of it is older stuff too. As I said before, thanks so much to my mom. She kept so much of these Christmas items and trinkets and dolls and things that from when I was a little kid, and I still have them. And other people would have thrown them out, but she kept them, and I'm so glad she did, because I have real memories of these old things. And then we have now bought our own over the last, you know, decades that we've been married, and so we now these. Oh, I remember when we bought this there. Remember we got this. So we've got our own Christmas decorations that now have special memories for us. And then I have my own from what my mom kept. So there's really something special about all those Christmas decorations. Now, as I said, we're at the breaking point of, there is. My friends went through the house. They didn't say, oh, by the way, I saw a spot that was open, that you need to fill that spot. Now, I don't know if they were really looking or not, but so, yeah, I've tried my best to fill every space within the living area. There are Santa and snowmen in each bathroom. You name it. Every corner, there's something there. And so, but I'm looking around this, and I'm putting all these things up, and, you know, and then, you know, a reality every so often kind of hits you in these moments. You're putting this stuff out, and it's very nostalgic, and it's very fun, and it brings back these memories. But then also from my standpoint, it also brings up some realities of what am I going to do with all this stuff, which is a common, you know, being a collector of a lot of memorabilia and a lot of things, that's a common question that I frequently have, especially as I get, you know, every year you get another year older. I don't have any kids to leave this stuff to. And so there's nobody going to be dividing this up and taking it, you know, at least that would have a genuine attachment to it or right to it, if that's the right word. So my question is, what am I going to do with all this stuff? Because, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, some people, you know, share your interest in things, but they don't share it as much with the same kind of intensity, perhaps, that you do. I have all this Elton John memorabilia, same kind of question. What am I going to do with all this stuff? You know, I mean, there's younger people now. They're not into Elton John like I am. I mean, there are some, but not as many, right? I mean, he's an artist of a different era. Now, even though Santa and Christmas never goes out of style, there's 15 bins, if not more, stuff too, and other boxes of things. You know, who is someone else going to, you know, to quote my friend, is someone going to have the commitment that it takes to put all this stuff up every year? Will someone want this stuff? I don't know. And so that's really becoming a question now. You know, it's like, okay, as I said before, our tree is full. Our tree is literally jammed. It looks very cool because it's all red and white. So it looks great. And one year we even decided not to, we said, well, let's just leave it with the tree and the lights on it. And we did that one year, and it looked nice, and it was a heck of a lot easier to do. You know, it was another 2.5 hours you'd have to do. But at the same time, yes, it's a pain to bring up all the ornaments, to put it up another 2.5 hours, blah, blah. But boy, when it's done, it really looks nice. And it's like, yeah, you know, I do appreciate and I do prefer the tree decorated than just, you know, natural with just a few lights on it. But there really is nowhere else to put anything. So we have to decide, do we get another tree again? And where do we put it and all that? And, you know, do we really want to do that? And the other side of the coin is, what do we do with all this stuff one day? That's a reality. You know, you don't want to think about it, but that's a reality. And some of our stuff is really nice. And some of it, you know, is old, or, you know, it's valuable. It's certainly emotionally valuable, that's for sure. So, you know, it's like, what are we going to do with this? And we've been trying to every year, you know, be a little more, I guess, realistic and say, okay, we can't just, you know, there's so much Christmas stuff every year, some new stuff. It's like, you know, we're going to be good this year. And we have over the last several years, we haven't been going overboard, which is good, but we still have added to the collection. Now, if you saw what we have here, you would say there's no need to add to this. You've got everything you need, and we do. Until you walk around and you see this Santa, or you see this snowman, or you see something, you go, oh, how cool is that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is, But it's just like, oh, it just hits you. And then sometimes I've said, oh, no, we can't buy that. And then, of course, I sit there for 3 days later and go, we have to go get that Santa. We have to get that whatever thing. So this year, we haven't gotten as many ornaments, thankfully. We only got maybe two or three or four, which is nothing compared to what we used to get. So we've done good on that front. We only got one stuffed Santa, this really cool electric peekaboo Santa where he raises his hat. It was so cool. I'm like, oh, my God, look at this peekaboo Santa. So we had to get him, right? But we were like, okay, we have to stop, right? We're going to stop. But so now everything is up, right? Everything was up, and we're done. Right, it's all decorated, and we went and we saw ornaments, and there were some that we thought were cool, but we actually at least did say to each other, do we really need this? And much to my surprise and my pride, I was proud to say, we both said, no, we don't really need this. So that was good, because that little self. That self-reflection never really was there 10 or 15 years ago. It was like, oh, look at this. Look how cool this is, you know. So now at least we're getting a little more discerning, and we're getting a little more realistic. Even though we're still buying a few things, we're not buying major things, we're not buying a ton of things, but we're still adding to the collection. We're not getting rid of. And I don't know if I can get rid of it. Everything we have, I just love so much. I don't buy stuff for the sake of buying it. I buy it because it really, and now I'm going to use this phrase, it really does spark joy in me. So it's not just like buy something for the sake of buying it. It's there is a discerning thing of the stuff that we do buy is like, wow, we both sort of, you know, and it's funny. We really both have, my wife and I both have similar tastes in a lot of things, and we'll just see something and we'll give the look like, oh, how cool is that? And sometimes I'll think this is cool and she won't, and vice versa. And then if we don't have that shared connection to this, that shared kind of instant thunderbolt that hits us at the same time, then we don't get it. But the problem is that a lot of times we do share that, and so we get hit by that thunderbolt quite a bit. But we're trying to dodge the thunderbolt a little more than we used to. Before, we used to open ourselves up and say, thunderbolt hit us. Whatever looks cool, we're gonna add to the collection. But the collection now is, I think, it's pretty close to being a done collection. But, you know, is there ever a collection that stops? Does a collection stop on purpose, or does it stop because the person collecting stops, right? I think that's when most collections stop. But we're trying our hardest. And so the funny thing was, though, as hard as we think we're trying, so everything's up. We went to the store and we bought a few ornaments, but we didn't buy as many as we certainly could have. In past years, we probably would have bought double what we bought. And we did say, no, we don't really need that. So I felt like we were at least being responsible here. You know, we weren't just going hog wild. And like I said, if everything's up, you say, okay, it's done, right? All the decorations are up. You're finished. You're finished for the year. And so so I thought, which brings me, you know, to this question of, you know, can you ever really stop? So we went to New York for just a day and a half a couple weeks ago in mid-December. And we went there, and so, you know, the Christmas in New York is very cool. There's a great vibe. Yes, it's crowded with people. There's hustle and bustle. It's way too crowded. There's way too many people. There's way too much pushing and shoving. And there's, you know, but it's still, that's the vibe. There's a Christmas hustle. There's a Christmas bustle. And if you were in that same kind of crowd on a Monday in March, it would be unbearable. But when it's Christmas, it seems like it's all part of it. And there's all the lights. There's some great lights that they do in New York. Radio City Music Hall has a great tree, and the great tree at the Rockefeller Center and a lot of the Macy's windows, and so there's a lot of great places to go in New York to get the Christmas spirit. Now, in my mind, we're done. We are done with Christmas stuff, and we were somewhat fairly proud of ourselves that we didn't go hog wild on adding to this stuff that we already have. So to prove that the willpower was real and lasting, when we were walking around New York, the weather, we got really lucky with the weather, was in the 60s, and it was, you know, it was beautiful. So I said, oh, well, you know, there is a Christmas store called the Christmas Cottage in New York City on 7th Avenue. Oh, I don't know, near 55th, 57th, somewhere around there. And we discovered it by accident. It used to be in the shadows of one of my favorite places to eat in New York, the Carnegie Deli, which sadly closed now about 5 years ago. But so that's how we discovered it, because we were walking down 7th Avenue where the Carnegie Deli was, and that's how we discovered it. And so we would often go in there and buy just a little an ornament. Oh, it's from New York. It's from, you know, we got it from there. And sometimes we'd buy a few things from there. They had some really nice things. But we always would just, even if we didn't buy anything, and many times we didn't, but we would just, you know, make the obligatory visit. Oh, we're in New York, and we'll go to the Christmas Cottage. So now, in my mind, we have bought everything that we are going to buy in 2021 for Christmas. And once again, there's this little, you know, bell in the back of your head saying, you've got all you need. You don't need to add anymore. Right? There's always that voice telling, even though I don't listen to that voice quite a bit. But that voice is still there. So I said, well, you know, we were walking back from Central Park to our hotel, which was in Midtown. And so I said, well, you know, we could always stop at the Christmas Cottage on the way back. We have to cross. We have to, you know, we could go down 7th Avenue. We can go down the street. And so my wife says, well, I mean, do we really need to go there? I mean, we've got it. What do we need to go there for? We've got everything. And I said, well, that's true. I said, but, you know, it's Christmas. We're here for Christmas. I'm wearing my Santa hat as we're walking around New York. In fact, what was interesting was, so I always bring my Santa hat. When I go out now around Christmas time, I will wear my Santa hat if I go out somewhere. I love Santa. What can I say? And I've been wearing my Santa hat for 35 years, if not more, out anywhere. And before now, everybody wears their Santa hats around. But I was a trailblazer in the Santa hat wearing in public kind of thing. I always wore it out, and people would always look at me like, whoa, where's that? And now you see it all the time. So anyway, I won't take credit for it, but I've been doing it for years. But it was funny. So I brought my Santa hat with me to New York, and we're walking around for 2 days, right? We're there for the Christmas spirit. So I put my Santa hat on. And I think that, oh, I'm going to be, you know, yes, more people do wear them just casually around Christmas time now when they're out shopping or walking around. But still, it's still an oddity. Or so I thought. We're walking around the streets of New York, and as soon as I get out of our hotel and onto the street, I'm seeing people wearing Santa. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. We landed on Saturday morning in New York. So before I even wore my hat out, I had it in my suitcase, but I didn't unpack it yet. As we're taking the cab into New York City from the airport, when we get into the city proper, as we're driving through the streets, I'm noticing a lot of people wearing Santa hats, Santa outfits, the full-blown outfits, men all dressed up, women wearing like the sexy short ones, you know, young women, all wearing hats. Some guys dress up like elves, but there's a lot of Santas. And they're mostly young people, but there's a lot of Santas. And we're turning down different streets, going to different areas. So it's not like it's just one street. It's like every three or four blocks, there's just pockets of Santas. And I'm like, well, there must have been a parade or something, Because why would all these people be wearing this Santa gear and they're walking around the streets? They must have just got done with a parade or something. Because it was, you know, late morning, early afternoon. So I'm thinking, well, there must have been a major event or something. You know, all these that these young people especially were all dressed up in Santa suits for. They were giving stuffing away or there was a parade or something. Because look at all these Santas. So we go into our room and I take my Santa hat out and I'm already wondering what's the deal. But I started a trend, even though I'm not going to get any credit for it, of wearing, you know, now these people are even wearing Santa suits. I'm just wearing a hat. I was just trying to be kind of subtle and cool at the same time. But, you know, and nowadays, subtlety is not even a word. I mean, you got to go, you know, full bore. So people are wearing the full blown Santa outfits. But I put my hat on, okay, and they're everywhere still. They're still, I mean, now it's been but an hour or so since. I'm like, well, this parade, you know, if there was a parade, I mean, it had to have ended. Why are there still everywhere we're looking? There's all these pockets of Santas walking everywhere. So we went down to 34th Street, where the miracle takes place, which is that, and that is still my favorite Christmas movie. Miracle on 34th Street. So we go to Macy's to look at the windows. And you know, congregating around Macy's, there are just Santas everywhere. Female Santas, male Santas, transgender Santas, you name it. There were him, hers, theys, everybody is, there's Santas everywhere. And so I'm like, what the heck is going on? So finally, I'm, you know, because all I have on is my Santa hat. I mean, when I was leaving Chicago and I packed my Santa hat, I'm like, boy, am I going to be cool, huh? When I get to New York and I put my Santa hat on and I'm walking around, people are going to be saying, wow, look at the Christmas spirit that guy's in. And don't forget, I already have my festive pin on. I've had my festive pin on starting the day, you know, the evening of Thanksgiving as well. The festive pin then gets onto the coat. So I have my festive pin on to begin with, but now I've got this Santa hat. So people are like, wow, look at this guy way into the Christmas spirit. Well, now I am bombarded. I am like the least noticed of Christmas spirit because I am surrounded almost every street corner. We went to we're walking down the street and there was a Chick-fil-A and there had to be 40 Santas sitting outside eating their Chick-fil-A's. So there was Santas everywhere, every street you went on. There was, and they were mostly young people. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Now I'm even past the fact that no one's going to even care that I've got the Santa hat on. Now I'm just curious, what is this? So when we get to 34th Street, there's just, it's like, it's Santa Palooza. So I finally see this woman walking, and she's got a full Santa outfit on. And I said, can I just ask you a quick, because I have my Santa hat on, so I feel like, hey, you know, even if you don't know that I don't know, I would think that a lot of people, even the Santa people, looked at me with my hat, because there were some people that had the full-blown Santa outfits on that were in packs, but some just had a hat on like me. So they may have maybe thought that I was a part of their group. Even though I had no idea what they were doing, but because I had a Santa article on, I didn't have a whole suit on, but I had the hat on, so they may have thought, oh, whatever they were doing, I'm part of that, right? So I felt that I had the right to ask, you know, because we're kindred spirits. I mean, I don't have the whole suit on, but I do have a Santa coat. If I would have known, I would have brought it. So I asked this woman, I said, can I just ask you a question? I've got my Santa hat on. So she probably thinks, hey, what are you asking me this question for? You're one of us, aren't you? And I said, and you'll find out what the one of us is. So I said, can I ask you what's going on here today with all the Santas? And she said, oh, it's SantaCon. She said, you know, it's a whole, everybody just, it's just one, you know, everybody gets together and they all wear the Santa outfit. It's kind of like a citywide pub crawl. And there's, you go to certain bars in New York apparently that are involved in this SantaCon, and they give the money you spend, they give a portion of it to charity. But it's just kind of like this major. It's kind of like a Comic Con, only though it's outside. It's a pub crawl. It's not in a venue and an event for 3 days like Comic Con. Everybody dresses up like their favorite superhero or villain. For SantaCon, everybody dresses up like Santa, but they walk the streets and they go to bars and they spread holiday cheer and whatever they're spreading. But I had never heard of this. And so I said, well, she goes, well, we all meet early in the morning in Times Square. Everybody knows that's where you go to meet at a certain time. And then everybody just breaks off and walks around the city with their Santa outfits and they go to different bars. And I could tell that because I said, so it's mostly young people, because who else would be doing a pub crawl like this? They're all dressed up in their Santa outfits, and some of them looked like they were drunk, but others were just, hey, look at me. Once again, we're in a look at me kind of society, so this is perfect. But New York was inundated with Santas of all ages, size, and sexes on this Saturday. It was December 12th. Now, I don't know if that's the day that they're... Now, so the funny thing is that we went there on that day not knowing... Oh, no, it was the 11th, December 11th. Not knowing anything that there was a SantaCon in New York that date. And at the same time, there were people probably from all around the country flying into New York just for that. And I brought my hat, once again, not knowing about SantaCon. But little do I know that I've been a participant in SantaCon without ever knowing it. But wow, these folks were like, once again, they were all, and then some of them, were very risque and some were off the charts with their Santa outfits. But my Santa hat was a little muted this year because when I was walking around the city, because there was everywhere you look, there was a pocket of Santas, a pack of Santas walking down the street, yelling and whatever. So, but also it was kind of cool to be there for, we went there specifically to gobble up some holiday spirit. So it was kind of cool that there were all these Santas walking around, because you got to love that outfit. You got to love that red outfit. But so we go to the Christmas store. My wife says, "Well, why do we have to go?" I'm like, "Well, we'll just go. We're there for Christmas. We're here. That's why we're here, right? We'll take a look around. We've got everything we need, but kill a little time and get a little Christmas spirit." Well, we walk in the store and we're looking around, and there's some really nice stuff in there, but nothing's really jumping out at us. So I'm like, "Whew. We'll make it through this trip and we'll make it through this visit to the Christmas cottage in New York on 7th Avenue. And I'm not getting any plugs. I'm just letting you know, in case you ever go to New York and you want to go to the Christmas cottage, it's on 7th Avenue near 57th or 55th, right around there. Just for your own benefit, not getting any promotional endorsements. We're walking around and it's like, oh, well, yeah, that's kind of nice, but we've got everything. And so I'm pretty happy that we're going to get in and out of the Christmas cottage without spending any money. I'm pretty proud of that fact. And I'm proud of Christmas 2021 that we didn't go hog wild. Yes, we added a few things, but certainly not as much as we've had in many years past. And we have been slowly making a cognizant effort to limit our Christmas decoration buying because we have enough. And then there was this moment, like I mentioned to you earlier, when we look at one another and we go, oh dear. And that happened. There was this really cool Santa face, this hanging Santa face. It was kind of a vintage, called the vintage Santa face. That's exactly what it's called. And it had this old-looking Santa face, and it's a relief. It's molded like a face, flat on the back to hang it against a wall, but 3D, almost like a bust. You know, almost like a deer that you would hang, you know, on a wall. Santa, you know, at least this is Santa's face, and just vintage looking, which we love all the vintage Santa. As I said, I have these dolls that are decades old, so I love the vintage Santa to begin with. And then it was decorated with glitter on it. Oh, it's just, wow. The first run through, I didn't see it. I don't know if my wife saw it, but I didn't see it. But then she must have seen it because she told me about it. And then when she said, look at this. And then I looked at that, and then I looked at her. And she said, I knew we were in trouble because you went, oh. She goes, whenever you do the, oh, she goes, I know we're going to get something. And while there was a little hemming and hawing, it was so cool. And it wasn't overly expensive. It wasn't, I thought it would be much more than it was, to be honest. And so the price was well within. It wasn't going to be like, oh my God, this is you know, we're being too extravagant here. So I was surprised. Maybe the price was lower just because, you know, they're trying to get people to buy more stuff. If they keep, you know, inflation is everywhere. So if you add to the inflation, people aren't going to keep buying things. So maybe the price was lower, you know, on purpose. So the price was not crazy. And it really was cool. And it's like, wow, I could pass on a few things, but I'd never seen that around our house at home. And are we going to, you know, and we can't come back and get this, right? We're leaving tomorrow. So if we say no to this, are we going to get home and then say, why didn't we buy that Santa face? Which we have certainly done many times. And so We gave the look to one another, and yeah, I guess we're going to have that Santa face. And so the Santa face is now, in fact, there is so little room in our house. I had to take a picture down. We had a picture hanging on a certain wall. It's like we there's nowhere we can just add this. We have to take this picture down and put the Santa face in its place, and we'll replace the picture when Christmas is done. So that's where, I mean, we're landlocked here with these decorations. But oh my gosh, do I love the Santa face. I'm trying my hardest not to buy this stuff. The addiction is very difficult to kick. And I'm trying my hardest. And I'm making some progress, but I guess I can't go cold turkey. But my question remains, what do I do with this stuff? You know, who do I give it to somebody? Do I donate it to somebody? Do I have a garage sale? Do I sell it on eBay? I mean, I've bought things off of eBay that people are selling. I have no problems with that. I'm certainly a capitalist. But at the same time, I certainly hope, I would like to give it to somebody that really likes it and will appreciate it too. And I would have no problems giving that away if I knew that it had a good home. But I don't know. Do I now, you know, so I've talked to friends and like, well, you know, you could have a garage sale, you know, like in October, you know, like in this fall when it's the weather's nice. Have a Christmas if there's some stuff that you definitely want to start to get rid of, have a Christmas garage sale or yard sale. Or, you know, if you want to really be serious about it, you know, you can go on eBay and you can sell this stuff. There's even companies or people that will do it for you. Or you can maybe have an estate sale. Go to an estate sale place and say, here's this stuff. Now, now these are all questions. I mean, I'm not ready to do this yet. But I am thinking about it. Like, what do I do with this? I don't have that natural, heir to give it to. You know, let them worry about it. You know, my mom and dad, you know, they passed things on to me. Fine, that was natural, right? But I don't have kids to give it to. So, and they don't have, so, you know, the people that are going to, that are going to get this, I would want, there's some really cool stuff here. So hopefully it's somebody that really loves Christmas and loves Santa as much as I do. I don't know if there's many people out there like that, but hopefully there are. But as every year that goes on now, I'm putting this stuff up and I'm buying it, and I'm also wondering, what am I going to do with it? And so I'm not ready to have the garage sale yet. Everything that I put up, I enjoy. I have thrown some things out that have gotten too old or have just lost, as I said before, they've lost their luster. They don't pass muster. But I've gotten down to a point now where the stuff that we have, I am attached to all of it. So I'm not ready yet. But if you have any ideas as to how, you know, I don't know, could I donate it? Do you think that someone, do you think a hospital or a nursing home, or, you know, would they want it? I would do that somewhere down the line. I don't need to make money off of this, really. I mean, it certainly would be nice. But it would certainly take effort. It wouldn't be easy. I'd like for someone to come by and see all the stuff and say, okay, I'll give you X amount for all of your Christmas stuff. And I'd love to just be able to say, okay, take it all. We'll put it in the bins and pick it up tomorrow and give me the check and we're done. To sell this stuff piecemeal would be quite an effort. You know, one by one would be quite an effort. We've probably got, I don't know, 200 or 300 ornaments and all these. I mean, this would be a lot of effort to do this. But I don't know. Is that a route I take, or I don't know. Is there a place that would take this stuff, and if I donated, would they put it up? Like I said, I would assume maybe a nursing home. It would be nice, you know, nice festive. You know, put all this stuff up in a nursing home. That would be nice, right? Or some place where kids, like maybe a children's hospital, you know, donate to a children's hospital. Would they use it? I would hope so. So I don't know. But if you have any ideas, I'd love for you to just go on my Facebook page and let me know, because I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet to get rid of all this and divest everything. And hopefully I won't have to do this for another 30 years. But there's going to come a time, and I'd like to at least have an idea of what I'm going to do with all this stuff. But for right now, I have to tell you, it still warms my heart. It still sparks joy in me. I still am committed to put it up. I still love to be surrounded by it. I love the nostalgia of it. I love the memories of so many of these items that they bring back for me. And so it is a passion of mine. It's an addiction of mine, I guess, but it's one that I'm not ready to go to a Christmas AA meeting for. My name is Jim, and I am a Christmas decorations addict. I'm not ready for that. I enjoy it. I enjoy the commitment. I enjoy putting it up. I enjoy being surrounded by it, and I look forward to it every year. But I also have to be realistic and realize that there comes a time when I won't be able to put this stuff up like this and have 16 hours to do this over 2 days and walking up and down the stairs. And so I would like to at least have an idea of what I might be able to do with this stuff. So if you have any ideas, let me know. But for right now, I'm loving my Christmas decorations. Next year, I will try my hardest not to indulge. But I just have a feeling that somewhere out there right now, there is some kind of a Santa-related item that's being made and designed and made somewhere in some factory in some country or right in this country. A year from now, it's being made right now, most likely. And that's going to find its way into my house because we're going to see it somewhere. And my wife and I are going to give that look to one another. And I'm going to go, oh. And when the look and the oh happens, it becomes a part of my collection. Just one more thing to one day have to wonder where it's going to wind up. But for right now, I'm so glad it winds up in my house and around me, because for me, the Christmas decorations are a major part of why I love Christmas so much. And so let me just say to you, for the Christmas of 2021, it's been a crazy year. The last 2 years have been crazy, but hopefully this holiday season will find you safe, will find you healthy, and will find you full of Yuletide joy. And hopefully you will appreciate and celebrate your own Christmas decorations and your own Christmas memories and that old, your own Christmas spirit in your own way. Happy Christmas. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends and your family, to send them a link, send them a message that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 291. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.